Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hey there, and welcome to She's Building Her Empire, episode number 176. So excited to have Bob Berg with us here today. Bob, welcome. So happy to have you.
Stacey, I am delighted to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And now, Bob, you are a best-selling author. You are a speaker. You've got some incredible books. And I actually think I found you a few years ago. I think you were doing an interview with Marie Forleo. And I, you know, a big fan of her, started kind of listening to you a little bit, looking into your book. So really excited to have you here today and share you with my audience as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Marie's as well. And she's fantastic, isn't she?
Absolutely. Well, if you're ready, I would love to dive in a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, some of your books and the content that you've been putting out there. I know one of your books, The Go-Giver, it has been an incredibly successful book, to say the least. You do a lot of books on sales, marketing, and influence, you know, just all of that. And I think your total book sales, is it over 1 million already?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that crazy to kind of hear yourself say that?
I feel very fortunate. It's a neat thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations on your success of all of that. And, you know, if my listeners can take away just one, you know, golden nugget here, it's going to be worth them to stick around and listen to this. So if you're ready, let's dive in and we'll get started.
Absolutely.
So I would love to ask you, you know, let's talk a little bit about price and value and why it's so vitally important to understand the difference between the two.
Sure. And that's such a wonderful question because I know you work with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people. And sometimes with entrepreneurs, there's a tendency to undervalue yourself. You start, you know, you love what you do. You love the value it provides to people. You typically get into business because you have a passion for that, for adding value to people's lives, for touching. And there's almost a feeling of, well, but if I love it so much, you know, do I have a right to charge a lot of money? Well, of course, yes, you do because of what you are providing to others. You know, the basic premise, Stacey, of The Go-Giver is simply that, and when I say I'm not talking about the book, just the whole philosophy in general, is that shifting your focus from getting to giving. Now, when we say giving, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. Taking your focus off yourself, placing it on them. And that doing so is not only a nice way to live life, it's a very financially profitable way as well.
Right.
And there's no dichotomy there. We should be absolutely trying to please others. And as a result, we profit. This ties into human nature and also free market economics, where no one's going to buy from you because you want the money or need the money or think they should, or because you're a nice person, or because they're going to buy from you because they feel as though they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And what that does is it forces we, the entrepreneur, to be focused on bringing value to them. So with that in mind, let's talk about the difference between price and value, because understanding it is what allows us to charge what we should be charging.
Right.
And feel great about it because we know we're pleasing the other person. Price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It simply is what it is. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the other person, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, that brings so much worth or value to someone that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be absolutely ecstatic that they did while you make a very healthy profit. Can I bring up just an example?
Yeah, I would love to hear.
Okay. Let's say one of the entrepreneurs you work with is a bookkeeper or an accountant, what have you. Okay. And let's say an accountant, and she's gone into business because she knows she has these fantastic skills. Right. Maybe she worked in a large accounting firm, but just didn't like how she wasn't allowed to really bring the full value and customer experience and so forth. And she has a heart for really, so she charges, let's say, someone hires her to do their tax returns. Mm-hmm. She charges $1,000. That's we're going to name just a round figure. $1,000, that's the price or her fee. But what value does she give this person in exchange? Well, first through her years of study, through her dedication to learning her craft, through getting to know this person and their business and what they are looking to accomplish.
Yeah.
She is able to first save them $5,000 in tax that they wouldn't know how to do themselves, obviously. She saves them countless hours of time, freeing them up to do what they'd rather do and what they're more qualified to be doing. Mm-hmm. And she provides them with the security and the peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly.
Yes.
So we see here, first of all, that again, price is finite, but value can be both concrete in terms of that $5,000 savings. That's pretty good to get our arms around, right?
Yes.
But it can also be conceptual in terms of the peace of mind that she's providing, which probably is worth much more to her client than even the...
Right, 100%.
Well over $5,000 in value or use value in exchange for this $1,000 that this person paid her. So they feel they're ecstatic about it.
Right.
And she made a very healthy profit because to her, it's very worth her while to exchange that time, knowledge, business, right, for that $1,000.
Yes.
So she gave more in value than what she took in payment. Both parties profit. In fact, in a free market-based exchange, and when I say free market, I simply mean no one's forced to do business with anyone else, right? Free
right, yeah.
The main characteristic of such an exchange is that both parties, the buyer and the seller, come away from the transaction better off than they were before the transaction. So that's the law of value and the difference between price and value. So long as the value you are providing greatly exceeds the price they're paying in their mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Value is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we think is of value about
right.
It's what they think is the value about what we do, then you have earned the right to charge a healthy profit, not to sell on low price. When you sell when you sell on low price, you're a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
When you sell on high value, you're a resource.
I love that. Low priced versus high value. Oh, right. So good.
You're going to attract the people who you want to attract and who want, are willing to pay those hard because that's what they want. They want the value.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like how you're kind of, twisting this a little bit in such a positive way. A lot of us are going, but can I charge that? Or will they pay that? But you're saying the more we charge or the bigger problem we're solving, it's worth so much more. Yeah, so that's right there. We could stop this interview. Like that was such a great takeaway because we need to hear this. We all need to be charging more and charging what we're worth. And I think if we're thinking about it in that way, it's going to be a lot easier to say, well, if I'm solving this problem that's worth $5,000, $1,000 seems like a steal for our customers to be getting it.
Exactly. And that's what you're teaching your students to do. And, the big thing, and that's why sometimes it's so great to work with a coach because we can't always see the value.
Yeah.
Because we're human beings. We're so emotionally attached or close to ourselves that sometimes it takes someone else.
Right.
This is what you do. This is the great value. This is what you bring to the table that allows you to charge this. Yeah.
So speaking of mentors and coaches, I am sure you've had a lot of great influential mentors in, these past few years. And I would love to kind of hear, what is something that's really stayed with you that has changed the way in your personal life, your professional life? Is there something that comes to mind or someone that comes to mind?
Well, I've been very fortunate. First in being born to parents who are just wonderful people. Yeah. In fact, they're coming up on, they just celebrated their 60th anniversary.
Wow.
And I know. And so I had a great example of how to live, life in a way that really looked to provide value to people and looked to do, we didn't call it being a go-giver, but I mean, that's the I took.
Yeah.
And, I just growing up, it always seemed like the right person at the right time came along.
Mm-hmm.
But in answer to your question, actually it was about 35, almost 40 years ago, that someone gave me some advice that changed the whole way I did business, or shifted the way I did business.
Yeah.
Much like Joe, the main character in the story, who had the potential, but he wasn't quite, he was focused on himself, and it was about the sale, it wasn't about, and I was discussing with one of my current mentors, her name is Dondi Skumaki. She wrote the book Career Moves, and she speaks to tons of, you know, the biggest companies and teams in the world. She's just, she's an amazing woman, one of my treasured mentors. And she and I were discussing a term we call drive-by mentors.
Mm.
And these are people who you didn't really have a relationship with, you may not even after, but at some point they happened to show up at the right time and gave you some advice that, wow, just made a difference.
Yeah.
And I remember I'd been in sales for a couple of years. I'd been studying it. I'd been doing pretty well, but had not come close to reaching my potential. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming back to the office. I was working for a company at the time. I came back to the office and I had a disgusted look on my face because I did not really do what I needed for that sale to take.
Right.
And I think he saw me as Joe in the book. You know, he saw me as that guy who had the potential but didn't quite have the focus in the right place. And he was an old, no, an old, old, well, I say old timer. This is 35, 40 years. It's probably my age.
Yeah, right.
But back then, he was an old timer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Berg, can I give you some advice? And I said, yeah, you know, sure. I'd love that. And he said, if you want to make a lot of money in business, actually said, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target is serving others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you hit the target, he said, you'll get a reward. And that reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you want. But never forget, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It's not the target itself. The target is serving others.
And love that.
That little shift in focus made a huge difference for me, because once I realized the sale was not about me, and it wasn't even about my product or service, and our products are very important, but that's not what the sale is about.
Yeah.
It's about the other person.
Right.
And what they need. And that's why I won't talk about selling. People say, well, I love my product and service, but I can't stand the idea of selling. It's not that they don't like the like selling. It's that they don't like the idea of what they think selling is.
Completely.
So many people think that selling is about trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need. Selling, that's called being a thief. They don't want or need it. Why would you sell it?
Right.
No, selling by definition is simply discovering what the other person wants, needs, desires, and helping them to get it. In fact, the old English root of the word sell was selan, which literally meant to give.
Mm.
So when you're selling, you're literally giving. Now someone would say, well, wait a second, Berg, isn't that semantics? I don't think so, and here's why. Let's say one of your entrepreneurs is in front of a potential customer or client. They're in the selling process. When they're selling, what are they giving? I suggest they're giving time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and most of all, significant value. So they should be proud of the fact that they're selling. We just need to define it.
Right. Well, and I think when you're looking at it like that and you're really going, okay, this isn't these sleazy marketing tactics, or we don't want to be that person. If we can just shift our mindset to truly believing, no, we are helping and we're only selling to people that really truly want to buy it.
Exactly.
Then you're going to feel okay, you know, standing in front of somebody on a Facebook Live or speaking on stage and pitching your next big offer, because they can't wait to buy it. And that's a big, big difference.
Yeah. And we can know that, you know, not everyone's going to want to buy it. Not everyone has to buy it.
Right.
What we're looking for is a match with those people who need it, but also want it and desire it. And that's, you know, how it works. And so we need to be able to do it with a sense of posture, emotional posture, which, you know, in one way can be defined as when you care, but not that much, right? Not in other words, it's the lack of emotional attachment to a specific result. I remember another one of my treasured mentors from old who passed several years ago, many years ago now. His name is Bill Gove. He was a mentor to so many, Mr. Gove. And I remember he once said, in sales, in business, you're responsible to people, not for people.
Mm.
You're responsible to them to give them the opportunity to be knowledgeable, to be helpful, to give them what they need. You're responsible to them for all of that, but you're not responsible for people's life's decisions. That's their
right,
and that's their responsibility, and we need to respect that.
Yeah.
Which means if we go in and we know that we've done our best to serve another human being,
mm-hmm.
we feel good about it, regardless of the result. But when we have that kind of posture, the results are much more likely to happen.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I recently went on a personal vacation. And one of the biggest takeaways I had was I've changed my mission, my personal mission statement, my life's mission statement. And it was something similar along the lines saying, you know, I want to give the people the opportunity to create them for themselves. Right. I cannot create this for them. And as soon as my mind, you know, shifted to that way, I went, okay, I feel so good about this. Because I can't control what they're going to do with this.
And you know, I think, and you make such a great point, Stacey, because I think another turning point for me, I'd say in my own happiness as well as business success, was when I finally realized I am not the general manager of the universe.
No. Right. You know,
I can do my best, and that's not a matter of making and saying, well, it was supposed to. No, we still have to do our best.
Mm.
But we're not the ultimate decision.
No, absolutely not.
Ourselves in terms of what we can control.
Right. So I want to ask you, you know, especially in the online space, a lot of us are giving. You know, there's free stuff everywhere. Where is like the line, or you know, the decision of, okay, but I've got to start charging for this, or this is no longer just a freebie. It's just too good to be giving it away for free. So how do we determine, you know, is this a product? Is this still free value? Do you have any insight to that?
Yeah. And first, so let me just clarify and make sure, and I know you know this and your listeners do too, but just to clarify, when we talk about being a go-giver, we're not talking about giving things away for free.
Right.
We're just talking about focusing on bringing value to us. When we give things away for free, especially in the online marketing world, that's the strategy.
Right.
And that's fine. It's a wonderful spread. It's like when people come to the site and we give them a chapter of the book. Why?
Completely.
If they get, we give them great value in the chapter, they're going to want to know more. You know, we have the podcasts and we have the blogs and we have the free content, not because I'm being a go-giver or not a go-giver.
Right.
It's just a strategy because it's how we attract people. They begin to know us, like us, trust that the content is right, of course. So that's good. And we do need to give away that content as part of what we're doing. And so, The step up to charging is when you're offering something that they can't just generically get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it might be, you know, you give away that free report with, of course, lots of value or a free video, but then what's the next step up?
Right.
And that's what you charge for. So it's not a matter of, you know, what we say, like with law number three, the law of influence, we talk about placing the other person's interest first. That doesn't mean that you're a doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial. It means you're focused on making their lives better, you know, through your products and services, through the things you do for them. So I think we just need to decide what is the content we're going to give away, the attractor and the trust builder and so forth. And what is it that we're going to sell that's a step up from that, that we can legitimately and feel great about trading.
Right. Yeah, and I see a lot of my clients too giving so much, going, oh, but I'm not ready to sell yet. I'm not experienced enough. And I always tell people, you can have this customer journey, you know, from free to paid immediately, because if you truly have something to give, there's no reason you shouldn't be charging for your time.
And that's where having a coach like you comes in, because let's face it, and I'm the same way that, you know, I don't know what's, and people have to say, no, Bob, that is something that, right? Because I'm too emotionally involved with myself.
Right,
and
100%. Myself,
and we all are. Mm-hmm. And that's why coaches have coaches. That's
right.
And so...
Absolutely.
I don't think.
I know. So let's talk a little bit, just because we're on this money track, you know, why asking if something will make money? It's not a bad question. I've heard you say this before. Right. It's just a bad first question.
Right.
I love this. Let's dive into that.
Yeah. Cause in the story, Joe, the mentor, when he was talking to Joe, the protege, when he was talking to Pindar, the mentor, and he felt like Pindar was telling him that, you know, money isn't an issue and Joe said, are you saying asking if something make money is a bad question? No, making money. I want you to make lots of money.
Right.
Because we want to serve a lot of people. We bring in money from, as a result of serving others. Right. So I always say money is an echo of value.
Yes.
Right? It's the thunder to value's lightning. The value comes first, and the money is simply a very natural and direct result of the value you provided. No, we want, and I want all your entrepreneurs making a lot of money.
Right.
So, but what he said is asking if something will make money, like you said, is a great question. It's just a bad first question. So why? Because if you start with, will it make money? Then it's not about the other person. And remember, just, and this has nothing to do with some high level 30,000 foot thing. This is very practical. Remember, no one's going to buy from you because you want to make a lot of money. They're going to buy from you because they believe it's in their best interest to do so, which is the only reason why they should buy from you. So first ask, will it serve? And let's look at this on a couple of levels. Is it something that somebody is going to feel as though they'll benefit from having? Because you can invent the best widget in the world, but if it doesn't serve another person's purpose,
right,
you're going to be stuck with a really great widget that doesn't sell. So right, first ask, is it going to serve? Back in, I think it was 1800 and something, Thomas Edison invented a vote, in an electronic vote counter, or it was something like that. And please,
okay,
having a blank.
Yeah, okay. It's
called. But what it did is it allowed Congress and the state assemblies to tabulate the votes in real time, and people would know whatever. It should have sold. It didn't, because no one in Congress wanted anyone to know what that, right?
Right.
After that, he said something like, I'll never invent something again that nobody wants.
Right.
Okay. And that's the thing. So first ask, will it serve? Now, if there's not a market for it now, maybe you need to develop the market. That's okay.
Right.
So maybe when you say, will it serve? It's not a matter of, does anyone know they need it? If Steve Jobs waited until people knew they needed
it,
he wouldn't have, right?
So
but the first question is, will it serve? Is there a market for it now, or is there a market that I can create?
Yeah.
But it must serve first. If it will serve, the money will be a result.
Right. Well, I'm a big believer in, you know, reaching out to your target market, people that have already bought from you or people that you would love to serve, and see what do they need? You know, what do they want? What are their frustrations, their aspirations? And as you're getting that information, you kind of start to realize they want this, or I'm missing the mark here and I need to kind of switch gears.
Right. Patterns develop.
And absolutely.
So if you ask your, if you ask your audience, if you ask your loyal buyers, they'll tell you. And it's great to ask them because they can see things that you can't see, that I can't see. Because again, we all come from our own set of beliefs, our, our unconscious operating system,
right?
Our belief system made up of everything from, you know, upbringing, environment, schooling, to tell all the things that come into our mind. We form different thoughts, beliefs. We tend to think that the way we see the world is the way other people see the world. It's why you hear people say things like, oh, I would never, or, you know, I would never treat someone like that or say that. Well, no, we wouldn't, because it's not within our beliefs for other people. Or when you hear people say, oh, nobody likes that. Nobody, really? No, we don't.
A lot
of other people we know don't.
Yeah.
Everybody know. And so we always have to realize that we operate unconsciously based on our own unconscious beliefs, and we first have to need to be aware that that's even the case. Then we can ask people what they're thinking and be open-minded enough to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and it's that curse of knowledge. You know, we forget that we struggled with some of these things and we didn't know, you know, a couple years ago how to do whatever it is we're really great at now. So we forget to teach those things, and you've got to go back to the basics. So
Great. And that's why you're needed as a coach, because you can guide them along and
you
care about them, and yet you're at least emotionally removed enough that you're able to not only see the greatness within them, but to communicate to them so they see the greatness within them.
Right. So, you know, let's go. We both have coaches. We've had coaches for a long time, but let's go back to, we just said, you know, the curse of knowledge. When we, before we hired our first coach or mentor, what would an up-and-comer, you know, what should they be looking for? What should they be dodging? How do they know who to hire or what they should be looking for?
Well, I think first that if it's a matter of an actual coach that we're hiring,
we
want someone who has been successful doing it and can teach it. Because just because someone is successful at something does not especially the greatest natural athletes tend to make the worst coaches. The greatest scholars tend to make the worst teachers. Why? It came so natural to them. They don't have the empathy.
Yes.
They don't have the understanding that not everyone just gets it like they get it. So I want someone who's done it. I want them at least reasonably successful at what they do. But I want to know that they can also teach it. And they have a track record of teaching it. And also someone who's values are congruent with ours.
Yes.
People have different ways of doing anything. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying people have different ways of doing things that aren't in alignment. They're not congruent. Yeah. And, you know, we cannot be happy with ourselves if we're acting in ways that are incongruent with our values.
Well, and I love that you say, so they need credibility with themselves. You know, they've had that success, but then they can teach it. So you can, you know, look at their testimonials, their case studies. I've even reached out to somebody before that I knew had worked with somebody. And I said, hey, I know you don't have a testimony on the website, but could you give me a little insight? And to hear somebody who has great things to say about a product that, you know, it's not blasted right on their website or they're using them as a case study is great and really reassuring. Right. It's also not great if they're going, you know, I'm not really sure if I would recommend that. So it's really good to kind of see who's been doing this, buying this. What did they think about it? How did they like it? Did they get results? You know, maybe they didn't put a lot of effort into it, so they didn't get results, but other people did.
Right.
So it's good to hear all those things.
You're right on the mark. Absolutely.
Yeah, love that. Okay, great. So I would love to kind of just wrap up, but before we do, I would love for you to share with us, you know, where can we find more about you? Where can we go get this amazing book? And then, and your podcast, all of that, I would love for you to share that information. And then just one, you know, piece of advice that you would give to one of our female entrepreneurs listening right now that is in this mindset of, can I charge this? You know, should I be charging this? Am I still in the stage of giving things away for free? What should I be doing? So let's just kind of, I know it was a lot to give you, but let's wrap up.
But that's okay. First, as far as where they can get information on me and the book, thegogiver.com without the hyphen, just thegogiver.com. And they can get a, you know, a chapter, an excerpt of the Go Giver, Go Giver Sell More, the Go Giver Leader, whichever. I'd start out with the Go Giver probably.
Yeah, definitely.
They can also join the Go Giver movement. They can listen to the podcast if they like. There's all sorts of goodies, you know, right on the site.
Great.
As far as, you know, advice regarding charging, you know, it's always, and this is again, and it's why, and you did not ask me to say this, I'm just saying it because just that connect with you as a coach, because it's so much easier. I'll just give you a quick story that when I was first speaking, and I was having a trouble with charging. I was trying very low at the time. This is a long time ago, okay? And I remember one of my, and he was really a mentor to me, not an official mentor, but he was just a great guy, and he was always there to help. And he said, what are you charging now? And I told him, he goes, why aren't you charging X?
Right.
And I said, you know, I just don't know if I can get it yet, right? So we all have those issues.
Oh my goodness, always. No matter what price point you're at, there's always another number higher, you know?
Exactly. And he said, Bob, do you feel you're giving significant that you can charge that price? I said, yes, I really do. I just really don't know if I'm ready for that yet to ask for that, if people are gonna, and he goes, you know what? Charge it, because you know. And he said, you'll be uncomfortable the first couple of times. He said, practice saying the fee.
Yeah.
Practice it and practice it and practice it until, and you're still gonna be nervous the first time, but get past it. He didn't say get over it. He said get past it.
Yeah.
And he said, excuse me, under these hot lights.
You're fine.
Sorry. And he said, ask it. And I remember I did. And you know what? It's so long ago. I don't remember if I got it the first time I asked or not.
Right.
But I did get it.
Right. Well, and I like that you bring that up. You know, you might not get it the first time, and that's okay.
That's okay.
You will get it. Right. And it's when you get it, your confidence will build. You'll start to continue to feel confident saying that. And then all of a sudden you'll be going, should I be charging more? Right.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Right. Great. Oh, Bob, this was so wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. You guys go grab his book. I really highly suggest you check it out. You will not be disappointed. And check out what he said with the website, gogiver.com, because there's great content on there for you as well. So Bob, thank you for being here today. So happy to have you on the show.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And before you go, I want to thank one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to check out their services. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/herempire. Again, that's audibletrial.com/herempire for your free trial today.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club.
For more free content, videos, and rock solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.